Hi, everyone. I'm Eileen Frere, along with the founder and CEO of the company Doctors, Randy McKinley. And this is the Business Exam Room podcast brought to you by the company Doctors. In this episode, we're going to shine the bright light on the business exam room table to look at hacks for equality, or equalathons, to help showcase underrepresented tech talent to potential employers, aimed at building more inclusive workplaces for women and minorities in tech. The project, created by a startup called Esteem, spelled with an extra S, E-S-S-T-E-E-M. Marie Roker-Jones is the co-founder. So Maria, Esteem helps organize hackathons for equality, or equalathons. And in simple terms, explain, what is that? Who's involved and what happens?
Oh, great. So yes, equalathons are hackathons for equality. And who's involved is we have stakeholders who are like tech companies or employers who are looking to really be intentional about creating an inclusive work culture. And we have participants who want to upskill, showcase their potential, and they join these hackathons based on what the cause is that we're supporting for the equalathon. Every month we have a different theme. So they join to support the cause, support the nonprofit organization that we're building a solution for. Really come together to kind of build these solutions that honestly are amazing. And I'm always floored by what they come up with at the end of a hackathon. So I'm excited.
And this gives a chance too to showcase people that are maybe in underrepresented populations or women, minorities in tech?
Exactly. What it does is makes them more visible to the tech ecosystem, right? Because a lot of times it's very easy to get lost because you're sending out your resume to how many employers, or you are getting calls from recruiters, but doesn't necessarily mean that you as an underestimated tech innovator is really given the opportunity to even interview. So this gives people firsthand, you get to see how they work, you get to see what value they'll bring to your company.
Have you had people get hired at major companies just because of what they took, because of the equalathon?
Yeah, we've had people come back to us and say, because I participated in this equalathon, you know, I was able to now, you know, use this project as an opportunity, as leverage for me to apply to this company, or it gave me a boost of like confidence to really go out there. And I wasn't able to do that before. So there are so many, I guess the results are vary from participant to participant, but the most we hear is it prepares them for their career journey.
What kind of innovative things have come out? What have you seen that have been like, wow?
Here's a wow for you. This one of the interns who came to work for us actually built a platform that allows students, or young people, but young people who are driving, and if they're stopped by the police, it's an app, they can inform their parents that they've been stopped by the police and here's the location. One, it's a safety feature for any young person, particularly people of color. If they're stopped by the police, sometimes they don't know how to really navigate this experience. So having access to their parents and letting the parents know where they are, we think is such a wonderful feature and something that can really help with a better policing of certain communities. That's one of them. The other one is Naomi Health just is building a platform that really creates pods for working parents. And with these trusted pods, they are able to barter different services, whether those are for childcare, elder care, pet sitting. People are able to form pods within their communities and barter different services, whether they're professional services for like a personal service or vice versa. So I think I'm excited to see what comes out of that, because she's really looking at how to help working parents alleviate that, the challenge of balancing work and life.
That's really amazing.
It sounds innovative. Yeah, and it sounds like, I was just going to make a comment. So you're doing these hackathons, and through these hackathons, you're creating entrepreneurs and startups. And I was listening going, okay, well, I think this is a platform which would be really good for a tech company to be able to go hire. But at the same time, it seems to be doing something else where actually, maybe that was not the original intention. You're actually creating a platform where now it's actually creating an entrepreneur where they're creating a brand new product to go put out to the market. Nah, I'm not going to go work for the company. I'm actually going to go create my own company.
It's exciting. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because we didn't go into this with this intention, but to see what is coming out of it is just fascinating. And even for us, we get, you know, to be surprised at a pitch competition, you know, like that pitch, when they do their pitch presentation, for us, it's like, wow, we did not expect this. So we're always excited when we see that people have taken the initiative and said, you know what, I'm going to create a project out of this because I want to see a change. If I could share another story, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
I think this one, so this team was building for Pride Month. And so they are looking to build a platform that LinkedIn for LGBTQ plus community. And one of the things, one of the back end engineers, he mentioned, he said, I got into the arts because I didn't think I'd feel safe in tech as a gay man. And I thought about that and I thought, wow, he's building a solution, not just for him, but for future generations, for people who maybe have the same fear, but now they're able to find like LGBTQ plus friendly employers and not have to give up one thing in order to be safe or feel comfortable. So I just thought for that reason alone, I just felt like, wow, you are going to really be helping the next generation.
Sorry if you're hearing our daughter in here.
No. She wants to jump in on it. She's a future entrepreneur.
Yeah. I love it.
Minutes, I think she's going to come up with an app. I mean, it may not be as cool as some of the ones you've got, but I think she comes up with an app.
Yeah, exactly. And got to start them young. So, hey.
Yeah. And if you could go back a second, it's fascinating. I want to understand this hackathon. This sounds really fascinating because it sounds like you had a byproduct where you're actually creating entrepreneurs. And what it almost sounds like is for this tech world, here's this platform. What you're doing is it's almost like creating these brainstorming or ideation type sessions for these people to go show off their talents, go, hey, here, I have this idea. Here, let me go write the code and I'm going to show you what I made. And then you're evaluating it. Then a company turns around and goes, hey, I really like that. That seems to be you know, that's some good ingenuity. Gabby thought so. It was good ingenuity. The company goes, you know what? I want to hire that person in tech. It sounds like your platform, there's this niche that's been not tapped into, which is, it could be the minority community, these areas where people may not think to go look, and there's all this great talent sitting there, and this is giving them an avenue to showcase that talent.
You summarized it perfectly. It's exactly that. It's just this, a platform that, one, I mean, I think it's interesting because it does two things. For an employer, it helps them to really be, like I said, intentional about building a diverse pipeline, but at the same time, it improves their employee experience because all our hackathons are DEI focused. So it also helps fulfill some of their corporate social responsibility goals. So it's a win-win.
Absolutely.
For companies. And we've made it easy for them to join. So it's a no-brainer because we do all the work. And
that's interesting you mentioned it. So I was trying to understand the platform. So they sign up for the platform or the service, which gives you access to the platform. And then now they're able to go put on the hackathons, or are you promoting and doing the hackathon for them? So they're just a customer.
It's the latter. So we help them with their branding and building their culture. How we do that is we put all the work, we do the marketing, we get the participants. The only thing the company has to do is come on and let us know how many employees will be joining. And what it also does, it helps them to team build cross-functionally. You don't have to be in tech to join a hackathon, because if you're in sales and marketing, brainstorming, what you mentioned, is a good part of it, because especially for nonprofit organizations, if you're building a solution for them, they don't usually have those resources for sales and marketing. So being able to have people from all different departments come in and really think about this from just a global perspective, like what does this nonprofit organization need and how can we really disrupt what's happening right now and build a solution that's sustainable. That's another thing. We want to make sure that all the solutions are sustainable.
this seems like this would be a great win, even for a small company. Why wouldn't you want to tap into this? This makes your hiring so much easier. It's very hard to go find good talent. You need to be able to create a pipeline to bring talent into your company. And this seems to be like a fun way for the potential employee to showcase their talent where they may not get to be seen. And secondly, it makes it nice for the company to go, hey, look at this. We got a potential pipeline, future employees that we could go bring into the company. Is there any drawback from a small company, a private company to doesn't have to be nonprofit, but say for profit?
I think some of the companies, it's really about looking at things through the lens of who are we hiring and for what. So a smaller company may, because many of our talent are early career, a small company may want somebody who's more senior and say, you know, we're not ready for this because we need to first build out our team and then we can hire someone who's a little bit more early career. So I would say that's the, if I was being transparent, that's the only downside is for a company that's just growing or just starting out, this, you know, this may be great for them to really think about building a more inclusive workforce, but they might be looking for someone a little bit more senior. Even though we have those people, most of our participants are, so 80% of our participants are women. And I would say about 65% of them are early career, which is anywhere from 0 to 3 years of experience. So we want them to not lose that confidence that they've had after paying all this money for a boot camp or graduating from college. We want them to keep that momentum and know that, you know what, there's opportunities out there and I don't have to be afraid of applying for these jobs because I think I'm going to get rejected because I don't have the experience. So now I can add projects to my resume because this is what these really are. These are more like programmatic initiatives and people can just list them as projects on their resume.
It's almost like an internship, you know, where like you get, I call it the internships or the Willy Wonka golden tickets for kids. People don't realize it is it opens almost any door on the planet because the company goes, really? You got a letter of recommendation? Wow. Can I hire you now? And it's almost the same thing in a sense.
Yeah. And you get to see someone and get to know who they are. Because again, a resume just gives you a very limited view of who this person is. And even if you go down their LinkedIn, you don't get to know someone until you see how they process information, what their critical thinking styles are. Are they a team? You know, do they work well with a team? Are they able to take leadership in a particular area? So this, during that hackathon, you're able to see all of that. And able to say, wow, I probably maybe wouldn't have thought of hiring this person, but seeing who they are and seeing what they're capable of doing, I think they'd be a great fit.
We're going to take a quick break, and I think our daughter Gabby, who you probably heard talking in the background, needs a few minutes as well. Now, Esteem came about after a brainstorming session during the COVID-19 shutdown in New York City. Marie will share some lessons learned to help other startups. That's right after this. The Company Doctors has a senior team with a combined 115 years of hands-on business expertise and includes a PhD, a marketing expert, IT specialist, a media PR professional, a former bank president, and Randy McKinley, a turnaround guru with more than 25 years of experience with Fortune 100 companies right down to mom and pops.
Better profits, reduce taxes, increase cash flow. Do you wish you could get results like that? Well, you can. To date, we've helped 68 companies and counting make more money with bookkeeping, accounting, business support services, and our best practices. How do we do it? Very simple. We are a team of business professionals who have run businesses. We are certified professional bookkeepers, which is rare, and business accountants and business turnaround experts. We use our proprietary tools to get a 360-degree view of your business, find ways so we can cut costs, add in secure virtual platform, key technology, all parts of bookkeeping and accounting can seamlessly be done anywhere and at all times. You can see we are the next level in bookkeeping and accounting for small and mid-sized businesses. Or maybe you need part-time, maybe you need full-time, something in the middle. We encourage you to do an A-B comparison for your own benefit. Also, regardless if you need bookkeeping, accounting, we want to help you make more money. Thus, we offer all businesses free of charge our 1 hour I Want to Make More Money business review. So we encourage you to go to our website, schedule your free 1 hour I Want to Make More Money business review. Go to thecompanydoctors.com, that's drs.com. Click on the appointment scheduler for a discovery call to learn more and let us help you get your business making you more money today free of charge.
We're back with Marie Roker-Jones, who co-founded Esteem with Hugo Sereau. Here's what led up to the creation of the company and some advice for other startups.
So Hugo, my co-founder, was thinking about how do we create more equality for women, particularly in the workplace. And at the time, I was volunteering at the Charter for Compassion, which is a nonprofit organization. And I just had all these ideas of like how to improve on this and how to make this more less about diversity and more about being inclusive. And so, you know, during COVID, right at the height of New York City being shut down, and we're both in New York, we brainstormed and we thought there's so many ways to create change. There's so many ways to use tech for good. And why not be the ones that to do that? And for me, it was prior to this, I had a startup that was helping veterans and military spouses get into tech through internships. And seeing some of the struggles and hearing some of the stories really made me think about there's got to be a way for people to see the skills, because I think that was one of the factors that was contributing to some people not getting in. And being able to, there's a difference between somebody telling you what they can do and showing you. So I felt that the hackathons are a great way to show you.
What makes Esteem so unique?
I think what makes us unique is that we are able to bring both compliance and culture to a company and do it in a way that integrates their CSR goals with their DEI initiatives. So it's really about we bring all these things together for a company without them having to overthink it, without them having to put into a lot of money or time. And we do it in a way that helps them to see the results. So it's measurable because they come in, they can see how many people they've reached, what the participation has been like, and also get the feedback from their own employees about their experience. So it also contributes to enhancing the employee experience, because more employees are looking for what are you doing for good. Like, I want to work here, but I want to know what else you're doing. I just don't want the great salary. I want to make sure that you are contributing to the world being a better place.
So now you're a founder, right, of a startup, and you've had all these great ideas. You're doing this over here. You're running a company, and that's a whole different role. What's been the biggest struggle or the biggest learning?
Oh, there's a couple. I would say one is realizing that it's not you build it and they will come. It's that you get the buy-in of your community. You build the community first, and then you ask the community, what is it that you need and how can we better serve you? So understanding that it's not just, hey, here's a great thing, come in, why aren't you buying this? It's more, let's find out from you how we can help you do whatever it is you do better. I would say the other struggle is really being clear on your value proposition. I think we struggled with that a lot, with understanding what do you bring? Like, we really did. And it's one of those things where it can really hold you back and you don't realize it because you're all over the place. And I think that's another thing. As a startup founder, you wear so many hats. Sometimes the things that are most important, you're not paying attention to because you're trying to do things that are immediate, that you can get immediate results from. So the things that are more long-term and that would provide sustainability sometimes aren't what you give the importance to.
No, I would agree. You know, we deal with a lot of small businesses. The last time I did the research, it was really 10 key things that are big challenges for a small business. The number one challenge for every startup small business is really the strength of the business model. And what that means is you touched on a couple pieces, which was the customer profile. So as you said, build it and they will come. It doesn't necessarily work because it's about what it's in it for them. And then you touched on the second piece, which falls under that, is really the value proposition. And that is so critical. You know, there's some things, you know, that you've identified what they would call the revenue streams, the cost, your core processes. You've identified that, you got the resources, you're starting to get the partnerships. But it's interesting when you look at that business model, the strength of that business model, if you're missing a couple of those pieces, you could have a fantastic idea, fantastic product. And if you don't address those couple little pieces, it'll hold you back where you can't fulfill your potential.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And I think it's especially when you're providing a service, I think it's very important to understand what that service is, one, and how it benefits your customers. And so understanding that and the work that goes into community building, I don't think we talk about it as much as we should, because every business, your customers are your community, like your vendor, that makes up your community. And so if you're not looking at your customers as a community, then you're missing out, because what makes community stronger is, first of all, is being engaged and feeling valued. So all these things have to be part of it. And it's work. It's a lot of work.
Well, and it's difficult as a founder for you and Hugo, and this goes for any startup, any entrepreneurs, taking off one hat, putting on another. And you're doing it, what people don't realize is you're moving those hats. It's almost like you have a closet full of hats and you have to go pull one off every 5 minutes and put it on. And then you're taking the role of that hat in your business. And that's really hard, because how is it you have the skills in every one of those areas or have the expertise to take on that role? And it's not. So it's a learning process. Probably the biggest thing I would tell a startup, and I think I had mentioned it to you, is it's not about, you know, or lack of brilliance. It's really just being blinded of the forest for the trees, because you're in the middle of it. That's it. And then when you take a step back, because, you know, we had talked, right? And it was interesting, once we put things in context and gave you some filters, did it not open things up? And you go, oh, wow, that really makes a lot of sense. Here's what our message is. Here's what we're offering.
No, you're right. You know, one of the things I have to say is I felt more confident in speaking to customers, because it's like, oh, I am now connected to our value proposition, and I'm able to explain it to you in a way that resonates with you as a customer. So
that's exactly right, because there's something we talked about just previous to this, is what people don't realize is in the United States, I think there's 30-40 million small businesses, and globally I think there's 30-40 million, and globally there's probably 100 million. Every 5 years, about 50% of those go out of business. And what was interesting is when you dig through the stats, only 18% of that is really related to somebody else having a better product, which means was it that you didn't have the product or service, or did you not know how to position that product or service? They understood your value proposition, what you brought to the table, what made you so special, so they would buy your product or service. And that's really, and it's not complicated. It's so hard. It seems it's so hard to get your hands wrapped around it, because you have to put on so many hats.
Yeah. I've learned to, you know, thinking about the hats in a way that is fun and whimsical helps me. So it's like, okay, the church lady hat is all business, right? And then, you know, the baseball cap is more laid back and can kind of, so thinking about it in that way, it helps me to say, okay, what do I need to do right now? Which hat do I need to put on? So yeah, I just have this visual of which hat I'm wearing. So
I like those visuals. I need to write those down. Can I steal?
Yeah, of course. The cowboy hat makes me like, you know, the cowboy hat just, I know what I want and here's what it is. And they're
going to wrangle it.
Exactly.
What would you say the ultimate goal for Esteem is? Would you say, where would you like to be? What would you like to see?
Ooh, that's a great question. I love that. I would say what we would like to, top, it would be funded. That's number one, getting funded. But also I would like to see where we are able to have more companies tell stories about how these hackathons and ideathons have really helped them with their culture, has really helped them to think about particularly diversity, equity, and inclusion in a more creative way, because a lot of the focus is usually on anti-racism, which the work there is needed, but something that's actionable and something that you can now tell a story and really dig into why this was so important for you and your employees. That's really what we want to see. We want more customers, but we also want those customers to be able to tell the story of how these hackathons and ideathons have helped them, because we connect through stories.
And if people want to get involved, if companies want to get involved, what do they do?
They can reach out to me, marieatesteem.com, and really work with them and go over what are their goals, what, you know, doing an assessment of where are you now? How is it that you want DEI to be part of your DNA, your company's DNA, and to do it in a way that, again, I want to say is intentional, but also connects with the company's values and mission, because it can't just be, I want to do DEI because we know we're supposed to do it, but we have to align it with what's the work that we're doing and how can we do it in a way that is authentic.
And that's really important, because you want to make sure the people who you're putting into a company or recommending for a company are going to feel like they belong and that they're trusted and that they're part of the family, because if they're not, then there's going to be turnover.
Exactly. And we have to get beyond this thinking that it's really people that make a company, right? It's your employees. It's who works there. If they believe in you, believe in your mission, believe that you are what your values are, you are showing that, they're going to put out their best and they're going to always want to represent that company in the best way. So you want people that want to work there and feel that they're valued, feel that they're heard and seen. I think that's the part that's most important. Don't just put people in seats for reasons to show, hey, we have diversity, but they have no power and they have no voice there. And it just creates just more of an imbalance, because that person's unhappy. It affects the performance. It affects everything. It just starts to trickle, right? And you don't see it because you're so focused on, yes, but we need diversity.
You know, the reason I think this was so important is this platform, that diversity is critical inside a business. I tell people all the time is that you and I are different. Everybody's different. All I care about is I'm going to give everybody a set of glasses to look at the world through a certain set of glasses. What you do is you bring your background, your experience to the table by looking through those glasses, because You and I are different. This person's different, but we looked at it the same way. But you take your background, your experiences, who you are, what you're about, and bring it in. And it always has a little bit of a different take. And when you put that together, that's how you get the whole picture. And so your platform is bringing in, I think, a piece of the puzzle that's really missing. But I did want to say, I think it's so critical that companies understand money is only one piece of the equation. It's that culture is what dictates, because people want to be part of a family. They want to, they spend so much time at work. You think how much time you spend at work and the time you spend at home. You're up a couple hours at home and then you go to sleep, but yet you spend 10 hours out there in the workplace with these people. Well, it kind of helps. It's not a job. It's a career.
Yeah. And we're seeing people, there's a shift, right? Since COVID, and now we're seeing people say, oh, I don't have to work here because I now have options. Like I could work somewhere where I feel that, yeah. And let's think of it from a customer or client perspective. When I'm working with a business or a company and it's evident that the people love working there, you as the outsider feel like, wow, I'm getting the best service because this person cares. Or I'm just so delighted by the fact that this person is taking their time to really talk to me, ask the right questions, be invested. Like we all want that. When you get it from a business or an employee, you just say, wow, this person went above and beyond what I thought they would do. So they care, right?
Maybe one final question. What would your message be to other startups?
To startup founders? I think I have a different message, actually. I was going to make it business focused, but one of the things I will say is really take care of yourself, your health, your mental and emotional health. Because if you're not in the right place, frame of mind, and you're not taking care of yourself, none of the stuff I mentioned is going to matter, because you're just going to be doing it because you have to, but your mind and just your emotions, you're not into it. And that can really, you can really start to burn out quickly. And if you don't want to burn out quickly, you have to take the time to say, okay, when do I give myself a break? And when do I go back to, you know, doing the work? But it's okay to take 15 minutes to just not think about anything or do anything, because that's when the creativity comes through. And I think sometimes we think that it's by working more, doing more, that we're actually being productive and actually accomplishing things. But no, it's in those quiet moments that you get that, you know, wow, this idea, I didn't think about that. So give yourself time to really reflect, to think, and to protect your mental and emotional health.
Marie Roker-Jones is the co-founder of Esteem. We're always looking for inspiring stories. If you've got one you'd like to share or know someone who you think should be under the spotlight, contact us through the Company Doctors website. That's thecompanydrs.com. Click on the charity link. Until next time, wishing good health to you, your family, and your business.
The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional-client relationship between the company doctors and you.